Welcome to Mission Academy. This is regular board meeting. It's Tuesday, August 24th, 2021 at 1:30. We're going to go over our logistics first. Place your phone on mute until such time you are presenting or asked to speak. When addressing the board, please announce your full name first to be sure to speak clearly. Please do not place your phone on hold. If you need to leave the call, please hang up and dial back into the teleconference. On March 17, 2020, Governor Newsom issued Executive Order N-2920 related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The executive order allows state bodies covered by the Brown Act to hold public meetings via teleconferencing. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line listed above and may submit written comments for prior consideration to the board members. Comments can be submitted to public comments, missionacademyhs.org. Public comment on the day of the meeting can also be given during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. As required by state law, SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the charter school's website. So we'll do an opening and we'll do a roll call and establish a quorum. Carol Stanford, President, Claudette Beck, here. Mike Malloy,
present.
John George,
present.
Barbara Willebrand, present. So we have a quorum. So I'd like to ask John Dortch to read us in the Pledge of Allegiance and the rest of us to put our phones on mute.
It'd be my pleasure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Thank you very much. So now we're going to go to staff introductions. We'll start with corporate officers, Jeff Brown.
Thank you very much, Madam President. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Jerry Vincent.
Hello, this is Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer.
Thank you, Jerry. School staff.
Hi, this is Jenna Yunus, Principal at Mission Academy.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations.
All right, School Legal Counsel.
Good afternoon, Bill Thompson, Legal Counsel.
Advisors who are supporting agenda items are presenting.
Hi, this is Gita Sharifi, CFO with Lifelong Learning Administration Corp.
Hi, this is Michelle Perez, Counsel with LLAC.
And Pete Ferraza, CEO of Lifelong Learning.
All right, welcome all of you. Anybody else? The other staff wishes to introduce themselves. All right, so we're going to be done with that, and we'll go into 1E, approve agenda for the August 24th, 2021 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. I need a motion and a second.
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
John Dorsey.
I'll go in a second. All right, so Mike Malloy has motioned, John George has seconded. We'll vote Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Dex?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 1E is approved unanimously. We'll go to 1F, approved minutes of the June 14, 2021 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. Are there any questions or discussion on this? And if not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 1F?
Claudette Beck, I'll make a motion.
Barbara Willebrand move. Okay, so Claudette Beck motion, Barbara Willebrand seconded. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 1F has been approved unanimously. So now we're on 1G. Approved minutes of the July 26, 2021 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. Is there any questions or discussions? And if not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 1G?
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
Need a second?
Barbara, I'll second that.
All right, so we're going to vote. Mike Malloy made the motion and Barbara Willebrand seconded. So we'll vote Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 1G has been approved unanimously. So now we're to public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter's jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. If you would like to participate in public comment, you must have signed in before the commencement of the meeting. Also, our teleconference line is open to members of the public who wish to participate in public comment. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator. In which case, the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. The total time allotted for public comment will not exceed 18 minutes per agenda item or 10 minutes for non-agenda items. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time because it's the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion and provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Is there anyone for the public who wants to introduce themselves? Is there Shelley, has there been anyone who contacted you?
This is Shelley Sands here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment.
All right, so now we're on three, school reports and information. Principal update, Jenna.
Hi, thank you, Board President, and hello, everyone. So I do have a few updates for you today. I wanted to tell you about some of our enrollment and academics. We are now entering our third learning period of the school year. It's hard to believe, but at the end of this learning period will be a quarter of the school year gone by. So for Mission Academy, we're at 376 students full-time, and we are running a summer intercession program that is a little bit less robust than usual given the current climate around COVID-19. But we are happy to report that attendance utilization for our first two learning periods is at 85%. And that 100% of master agreement addendum, as you remember from last month's board report, as a result of the governor's education trailer bill, AB 130, 100% of those master agreement addendums were collected so that we could remain in compliance with the bill and claim that utilization for our students and that funding for our students to continue to succeed. We have 4 graduates since 7-1, so since the start of our school year, and that brings the total of 68 for the 20-21 school year. So we had a great year despite many challenges and hardship. For school events and community outreach, we attended an event in Lancaster on the Boulevard with the Boulevard Association. We had a booth and an information with a couple of employees just to provide a community support and to, you know, inform people that there were options out there for virtual learning in the Antelope Valley. I know there are a few and ours is just one. We also held 2 resume workshops this school year so far, one facilitated by our school counselor and one facilitated by our special education department. And both of those had attendance, positive feedback, and students who left with completed resumes. We also had 2 social hour meet and greets and a vision boarding and personality strength workshop, which is a favorite. We're bringing that back pretty much every month. And then upcoming, we have the college and career, the difference between 2-year versus 4-year, and then also opportunities for trade school programs. We are partnering with a new online to site referral program called Care Solace. And so students, families, and staff can use this online referral program to quickly connect to verified mental health and substance use treatment providers in their community. This is a program that is available with 24/7 support, 365 days per year. They support in multiple languages, and it's offered to students and staff at no cost. So it is confidential also in the way that it will only log whether a student or a staff member has access to resources. And then it provides resources which are in the physical location of the person who is using the service. So we're really appreciative that we are able to do that. Self-care is something that is extremely important and something that we pass on to our students and also that permeates our staff message as well. We want everyone to stay healthy physically and mentally so that they can, you know, care for themselves and our students. We do have some staffing updates. Last year, we piloted a virtual program for Jobs for American graduates. It's a 40-year program that is in 40-plus states and started as a high school to career path program. And so this year we hired someone to work specifically with those students in the JAG program. And we do already have a cohort, a small cohort, but a cohort nonetheless. And they are beginning to do team building and will participate in community engagement, electing their own officers, internships, interviews, and then hopefully will have a job that is more of a career to transition after high school. We also track them for a year post-graduation so that we continue to provide mentorship and support. So our goal is to build out a cohort program now that we've had a year to get our feet wet, and that this is our first real cohort that will have 2 years of evidence-based best practices to move forward. We also have hired an EL specialist because, again, we see a need in, of course, in California, but in our region, especially in Southern California, for managing our English learners and really taking care to make sure that they are given the language instruction and the attention in order to reclassify and to reach those benchmarks. So those are two of our new hires for this school year, and we're very, very happy to have them and support those programs. Lastly, before my student success story, I also wanted to make sure to inform the board that Mission Academy will not be taking Title I funds this school year. The financial situation was a little bit more uncertain a few months back, but I feel confident that with our budget this school year and with the true funding that, at this point we didn't have the capacity to manage the Title I funding, but we are looking to keep that option open for next year. But we feel pretty good as far as where we are this school year and with staffing as well and our capacity to manage what we have now. So I do have a story I wanted to share with you. It was submitted by one of our language teachers and advisors, Ms. Ramirez Castro. She shared, "I think Iris has worked with almost everyone at Team MA 2021 at this point, but right now I'm so proud of her, I could cry. When I first got her in July 2018, she refused to talk to anyone, including me, LOL. She hardly did any work. One day, our tutor Ingrid and I called her mom and we did a home visit. Iris sat on the front steps and we barely got a wave. After that, I started getting one-word text answers and she did her work, probably attempting to avoid seeing me at her door again. She slowly started saying more in our calls and eventually got some over-the-phone tutoring. She is now on top of me when she needs new classes added and whenever anyone takes even a little bit longer to progress her forward. Long story short, today she joined a Teams meeting with me and the school counselor and participated in a conversation about her credits and post-high school plans for the first time ever. She's an A through G college-bound student and taking pre-calculus, not even begrudgingly, as an elective. She is now in her last 20 credits, and she is open to attending a four-year university. She is a long way away from the kid she was when I first met her. She will be turning 18 in September and graduating from high school right on time." So that concludes my principal's report. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's a heart-rendering story. Oh, that's great. Any other questions from the other board members? Observation?
This is Claudia Beck. I just think it's great to hear the stories from the students and how they're doing. And it's really nice to get someone that seems to be so introverted out and then, really doing well. So that's great. Thank you.
I agree with that. Thank you so much for that, Jenna. Keep them coming. All right. So we're now going to go to 3D, Annual Lifelong Learning Administration Corporation Services Report. I think Jenna has somebody to introduce.
Yes, absolutely. I am thrilled to have here on the call for you all Pete Faragia, who will provide an overview to the annual LLAC services report, which you should have a hard copy of. It was sent to each of you this week. Thank you.
Thanks, Jenna. I don't know if I like to have to follow like a student story like that. It makes it difficult for my presentation. So, great job, Jenna. Thank you again. Good afternoon, board, and thanks for the opportunity to be able to provide a summary and an overview of the Lifelong Learning Annual Report. As Dennis shared, you should all have the hard copy in front of you. And again, it goes into much more detail than I will share today in terms of metrics, data, you know, priorities, the overall strategic plan of the organization to make sure, you know, our focus is continually on how do we provide better and better support services and products to the schools. You know, that's our main purpose and our main mission. So let me jump right in. Again, everyone's aware of the last 18 months and the tremendous challenges and obstacles and constant changing environments that we all live in. I will say with all of those challenges and obstacles, I believe lifelong learning and our relationship with our partner schools has become even stronger. You know, I shared early on and in the COVID-19 world when we were trying to navigate what it looked like that, you know, there's an opportunity to never let a good crisis go wasted, right? And I think we've learned a lot. We've grown as an organization. And I think we're positioned to be even more successful moving forward. I want to jump through a few departments just to share some highlights and then end with, again, a couple lessons learned and offer an opportunity for any questions the board or others may have. Let me start with education. Again, education took on really had to pivot quickly to move from an on-site instructional model to a distance learning model. But at the same time, I think it's important to note specifically with Jenna's program, how could we enhance our distance learning program? Jenna mentioned things like Jobs for American graduates, and how can we continually update, you know, access for our kids through different technology venues like YouTube channels and Google Hangouts, and all while making sure we're focused on, you know, the ultimate goal of one-on-one personalized instruction, enhanced with small group instruction, tutoring, counseling. I think our education department has done a great job not only to continue to meet the needs through the last 18 months of the pandemic, but I think also have improved their products and services that will make us even more successful moving forward. I think the main lesson learned, and I just want to share a little bit around the priority we put on communications, with constant changing messaging and information throughout the last 18 months, we really wanted to make sure that communication, both internally and externally, was a focus. We developed an internet portal for work from home with resources and information. In addition to that, you know, we wanted to make sure that not only internally we were communicating on a regular basis, but also externally with our community partners, so that everyone is aware of where we were in the process, what we were doing, and the services and opportunities we had available for students. And as Jenna mentioned, I think it's important to highlight, you know, having resources and tools available for the well-being of our staff. And that was also included on our internal portal, so that staff had resources for their own well-being and mental health and wellness, because this was a difficult 18 months for everybody involved. Moving on, our external affairs department, you know, they were constantly monitoring, of course, everything pandemic-related, but at the same time, we're paying close attention to most importantly, state legislation and the anti-charter attacks. You know, I kind of call it the anti-what-we-do attack. And there were several pieces of legislation that came out that imparted a moratorium on new non-classroom-based charter schools and put a cap on growth. And then most recently, a fairly targeted attack on our programs, AB 1316. And happy to say that through a lot of work and great collaboration both internally and with our external partners, we were able to defeat AB 1316. Although we are very prepared and aware and paying attention to what may come in the next legislative session in January. My commitment and our team's commitment is that we're going to continue to fight for our kids, our program for equity and education, for choice, and we'll be on the front lines of that work moving forward. Facility safety in our HR department, constantly, making sure we have developed, plans for how do we make our sites safe? How do we make our sites that only may have staff safe? What is developing of a reopening plan look like? How do we monitor and put in processes and procedures for contact tracing? And, I'm sure you're all aware, I think was in the consent agenda, around the mandate that school staff will now have to be either vaccinated or tested weekly. And, that's what, our HR teams are focused on, our facilities and safety department. So, a lot of work went into it over the last 18 months, but there's more to come as we continue to navigate our kind of new normal here. Charter affairs and our Office of School Governance, who our boards are very close with, and moving from our regular in-person meetings to these telephonic meetings and the logistics, all while trying to maintain the highest level of compliance and transparency and standards. I think they did a tremendous job with all of that through COVID. And then on top of that, again, with all that's on their plate on a day-to-day basis with charter renewals and material revisions for charters and MOU agreements and, managing audits, and then a lot of it just overall day-to-day compliance of our school site. They did a tremendous job and really have done a nice job setting up systems and processes and the way they communicate, I think, is second to none. Technology, Jenna can attest that's the backbone of her delivery model right now. And as that has increased, as schools have gone to a distance learning model and now are transitioning back to sites, but still in many cases, having hybrid models, the level of technology just in terms of tools and resources and devices has increased dramatically, which means our level of responsiveness, our level of service and support has to increase alongside that. And I'm proud of that team and the continued work they're doing. And then finally, our finance department, always on top of the changing regulations and the change in state budgets and, focused on, there was a lot of one-time money distributed through the pandemic, much of what we were specifically excluded from, some of which we did receive. And they're always on top of that, always making sure we are fiscally solvent, as well as looking at long-term, financial positions in terms of, the state deferring our money and having to pay close attention to cash. I know Gita had set up a system where they were at times monitoring cash on a daily basis, and weekly in a lot of cases as well. Again, proud of our finance department. And then I just want to end with a couple things. Again, I've talked throughout a little bit about new processes and systems and structures. All I think were opportunities that we grasped onto as we learned to navigate through the pandemic and COVID and everything that went on in the last 18 months. And I think we're a more efficient organization. And then, two of the main things I want to share is, one, I think the level of communication, the collaboration, strength of our relationship with the schools has increased greatly, which I think has led to a lot of success. You're hearing from Jenna and others, you know, the data and metrics around their academic success and the ADA and all of that. And I look forward to the strength of our relationship even growing more as we move forward. And then finally, although I'm sharing the report from LLAC, it's important to recognize the commitment, the flexibility, the leadership of Jenna and her team implementing all of this, being flexible, being patient, all while making sure we're still delivering the best educational product to our kids. So I think it's important to recognize Jenna and her team and all the work and dedication that they've had over the time. So with that, again, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the board's trust in lifelong learning and look forward to that continued relationship moving forward. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for that, Pete. We really enjoy you coming in and talking to us, and we get to know you a little better. Any other questions from board members?
Claudia Beck, I just wanted to reiterate what Pete said about the finance, because, you know, we've been hearing that kind of over and over, but I'll tell you, it's so important, and thank you, Gita, and Claudio, and everybody that works in finance. I mean, keeping everything up to date and keeping it solvent is fantastic. I can't thank them enough. So there you go.
I miss seeing them in person. I really do, all of them.
Really?
Any other board members? All right. Well, we want to thank you, Pete, for that report. Everybody keep that book. It's wonderful. It just explains everything. It's like a little color annual. I really, really enjoy it. All right. So now we're going to go on to 3C, Finance Update and Budget Overview for School Year 2021-22. And this is Gita.
Thank you, board. This is Gita with LLAC. So there are two items I'd like to share with the board under the finance update. One is the financial reporting calendar for fiscal year 21-22. And as you see, it starts on page 26 of your packet, PDF packet. There are several key deadlines that under finance the school has to meet, and we just listed them here by timeline throughout the fiscal year. One was the annual budget for this fiscal year 21-22, which the board had previously approved in June before the fiscal year starts, which also goes along with the LCAP, adopted LCAP that was approved by the board. And the budget is a projected based on the best, you know, guesstimate that various through the school and the ADA enrollment is projected. So those were approved in June board meetings. And then for today, if you scroll down on the same page as on audited actuals, I'll go through that report on behalf of the school that's due on September 15th. As well as the audit report is the next item that's due on December 15th. The deadline for that might be extended to January 31st, but it's not officially announced. But for now, we'll keep the original deadline. And at the same time, same date, December 15th, the first interim report is due, which is the first 4 months of operations of the school from July to October. And then there's the ADA report that's due on January 15th. That's the P1 first principal apportionment for the school that reports the ADA. That's the determination of the funding for the first principal apportionment for the school. And then the second interim report, that's the July through January for the first 7 months of the operation of the school is presented and it's approved in March board meetings. And then April 15th is another ADA report for the P2 second principal apportionment. That's prepared. And then the last item, key item, is the Form 990, which is the tax return for the school, which the filing date is determined by the IRS. So those are just the key items I wanted to note. And if there's ever any questions, you can always reach out. And we'll be happy to provide more information. The second item I wanted to also note was to, I'm happy to announce that LLAC has reduced the interest rate on its promissory note that the board had previously approved at 4% down to 3.25%. And this promissory note is used for any short-term borrowing that the school needs. That causes less cost for the school on the debt side. So just wanted to let the board know as well. So that concludes my report. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer. Thank you.
Any questions from the board members? All right. Thank you so much, Gita. So now we're on D3D, Annual Board Training Announcement. This is Jenna.
Thank you again, President Sanford. Yes, this is the annual training for charter school board members and leaders on the Brown Act and conflict of interest laws. So probably sounds familiar. This is the annual extensive training to ensure our compliance with the chartering authority's requirements to train annually. It will be presented by Young, Mini, and Poor, LLP, and there will be a few dates and time options for you to choose to attend at your convenience. So the topics will include compliance with SB 126, now Education Code Section 47604.1, virtual conferencing tips during the pandemic, conflict of interest laws, Political Reform Act, Corporations Code, and Government Code Section 1090, and the appearance of impropriety, as well as what you need to know in filling out those Form 700 each year. Thank you. President Sanford, you might be muted if you're talking.
I am muted. How about that?
I thought so.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. All right. So I need a motion and a second to go into a public hearing.
All right.
Bill Brand move.
Mike Malloy will second.
All right. Barbara Willebrand has moved. Mike Malloy has seconded. So we'll vote right now. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So it's unanimous that we're opening our public hearing. The board will hold a public hearing to solicit the recommendations and comments of members of the public regarding the revised budget overview for parents for the 2021-22 school year. The public hearing is now open at 2:03. The board has allotted 15 minutes for this public hearing. Members of the public shall have 3 minutes each to address the board during this hearing. The board may extend this time with a majority vote. The board will first hear a presentation on the revised budget overview for parents for the 2021-22 school year from Jenna Eunice.
Hello again. Thank you very much. I believe this is on your board packet starting on page 30. And if it looks familiar, it should, because we remember the budget overview for parents is the document that demonstrates to the public and parents that our school directed its funds toward increasing or improving services and meeting the needs of our community, while also directing funds for high-need students such as low-income, English learners, foster youth, and homeless students. It includes information on the LCFS, Local Control Funding Formula revenues, supplemental and concentration grants, state funds, and Federal Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Securities Act, the CARES Fund. And this document was approved by the board during the June board meeting following a public hearing. However, there was a need to include an updated narrative, so I'm presenting it here in the public hearing today. So I'm going to share the updated narrative with you, and then I'm seeking board approval on the revised 21-22 budget overview for parents. So again, this starts on page 30 of your board packet. So the updated narrative includes the following. Our independent study program implements a personalized learning experience for all students
including English learners, low-income, foster youth, and special education students, that is carefully designed to address their unique academic and social-emotional needs. To serve our at-promise and highly mobile population, expenditures are budgeted for, but not limited to, teacher and staff salaries and benefits, student intervention, curriculum development, professional development, materials, hardware, and software. Not included in the LCAP is the following: audit fees and legal expenses. The final, any final revised changes to the budget overview for parents can be found on the chart titled Update on Increased or Improved Services for High Need Students in 2021. And there actually was no change to the dollar amount for the total budgeted expenditures and actual expenditures for Mission Academy. Once you approve the narrative, it will be sent to the appropriate agencies as required and posted on our website. So again, that revised narrative is what I'm asking the board now to approve again, and that concludes my presentation on the revised budget overview for parents. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer those.
Thank you so much for that, Jenna. Any questions from the board members, please? All right, if not, the board will now solicit recommendations and comments from members of the public on revised budget overview for parents for the 2021-22 school year. Are there any members of the public on the conference line who wish to offer comment? Are there any members of the public who submitted written comment to the board? Shelley.
Hi, this is Shelley Sands to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment.
All right, so thank you. So now we need a motion and a second to close the public hearing.
Mike Malloy
makes
a motion.
Make a motion to approve.
Okay, so Mike Malloy moved and Claudette Beck seconded. So we'll vote Cheryl Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
All right, so it's a unanimous vote that we're going to close this. The public hearing is now closed at 2:07. All right. So now we're going to go into action items. This is 5A. The board will be asked to review and approve the revised budget overview for parents for the 2021-22 school year. This is Jenna.
Yes, following the presentation during the previous public hearing, if there are any other questions, I can answer those. And with no further questions, again, I ask the board to approve the revised budget overview for parents for the 21-22 school year. Thank you.
Any questions or comments from the board? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 5A?
John Dorch moves to approve.
Barbara Willebrand will second. So John Dorch has moved, Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Bibb?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 5A has been approved unanimously. Now on 5B, the board will be asked to approve the unaudited actuals for the 2021 school year. This is Gita.
Hello, board. Thank you, President Stanford. So, the unaudited actual, the actual report on the on your packet starts on PDF page 35, and it's the last financial report of the year that provides a summary of how the school has performed during the fiscal year 2021. The report includes a summary of statements of revenue and expenditure and also a net position of the school. The report also includes information about school's assets and liabilities, and you can see those on pages 3 and 4 of Form 62. And information about average daily attendance, that's the last page of the report, which was based on the based for the funding for fiscal year 2021. The estimated ADA projections for fiscal year 21-22 was used as a basis for developing current year's budget. In fiscal year 2021, the school had a funding P2 ADA of 519, this funding idea provided a final year end total revenue of $6.5 million. The revenue was $256,000 higher than the projected revenue presented at the board meeting in June. The noticeable difference is primarily due to recognition of $228,000 revenue from the state portion of the expanded learning opportunity grant that was originally planned to be recorded in the following fiscal year. That's included on line A-3. These restricted funds were not spent in fiscal year 2021. However, CDE guidelines require that the school records these revenues fiscal year 2021. This will cause an increase of equal amount in the excess of revenue over expenditures in the fiscal year. The increase in total revenue was also caused by a small increase in revenue from lottery funds. On the expenditure side, the school ended the year with a total expenditure of $6,186. This is $51,000 higher than the prior projection. The small increase comes from a combination of an increase in certificated salaries and communications, and small decrease of spending in equipment and insurance. However, most spending areas remain consistent with prior projections. Overall, the school had an excess revenue of $516,000, which is $206,000 higher than the previously projected. This increase comes primarily from recording the unspent expanded learning opportunity revenue, the state portion, as we discussed before. With this excess revenue, the school ended up fiscal year 2021 with a reserve of $769,000. Which is 12.8% of the total annual expenditures. Of this fund balance, $228,000 is restricted and comes from unspent expanded learning opportunity funds. These funds will be spent, assumed to be spent in fiscal year 21-22. As I mentioned before, the unaudited actuals also report balance sheet information as shows full year assets and liabilities on pages 3 and 4 of the report. This year, there are items that are unusual on our report. In the asset section, the school shows an unusually large amount, $2,099,794, in accounts receivable. That's line G3. This is due to deferrals of the state principal apportionment of months of February through June. These deferrals were originally going to be paid between July to November 2021. However, with the revision to the state budget, both deferrals are being paid on an accelerated schedule by the end of month of August. This is great news to the school cash flow planning, and it will reduce on or eliminate the need to borrow during these coming months, which will reduce the debt service cost to the school. You will see another unusual item in the liability section of the report in line I-4. This amount, $749,000, is composed by short-term borrowing from the school's line of credit and PPP loan, which was $503,000. That the school received in May of 2020. This is recorded as a liability as of June 30th. This year, fiscal year 21-22, the school submitted application for loan forgiveness, and the SBA approved the school's application on August 19th. This is a very good news for the school, and that was just a few days ago. Consequently, the school will recognize the amount forgiven as revenue for the fiscal year 21-22 and will report this revenue in the future interim report. Well, I also wanted to note that this form is Form 62 CDE form, and the CDE has a glitch in their system that we cannot upload the form at this time to the tax format. So the school might be utilizing alternative form with the same information, same numbers, but on a different format to the authorizer. So that concludes my report. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Gita. I just hate it when those things won't open up. All right, are glitched. Anybody else on the board that has a comment?
Okay, can we have a motion and a second to approve 5B?
Farm Bill be heard.
Need a second.
Mike Malloy, second.
All right. Barbara Wilburn has motioned and Mike Malloy has seconded. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Wilburn?
Aye.
So 5D has been approved unanimously. We are now on 5C. The board will be asked to approve the revised June 30th, 2020 annual audit report for the school. And this is Brian Hadley.
Yes, thank you. My name is Brian Hadley, and I'm a partner in the CPA firm of Wilkinson Hadley Key and Company, which is the firm that performed the year-end audit for Mission Academy for the year ended June 30, 2020. We did revise that audit report, and we revised that audit report solely for the purpose to clarify the relationship between the school and Lifelong Learning Administration Corporation, which is one of the vendors of the school. That school, the school contracts with LLAC to provide services, and LLA provides those services as a vendor. There were no changes in the net assets of the school, or, and so if you look on the balance sheet or, you know, on a nonprofit, they call it the statement of financial position. There's no change in the net assets on the statement of financial position, or if you look on the income statement or the statement of activities for a nonprofit entity, there's no change in the net income. There is also no change in the auditor's opinion. The auditor's opinion remains unmodified, which means that the financial statements barely present the financial position of the school at June 30, 2020. And so, you know, those are the three highlights. The report was changed to update or to clarify a relationship with the vendor. There's no change in the net assets, and there's no change in the auditor's opinion. And so that concludes my report on the revised audit, unless any of the board members or anyone has any additional questions for me.
Thank you, Brian. We appreciate that. Any questions from other board members? All right, we're going to ask for a motion and a second to the Sublet 5B.
Mark Malloy makes a motion.
Barbara Wilburn second.
So Mike Malloy has motion, Barbara Wilburn has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Wilburn?
Aye.
So 5C has been approved unanimously. So now we're on 5D. The board will be asked to approve the revised charter school accounting manual. And this is Keita.
Thank you, board. So if you refer to your PDF packet, page 88, there are two items that were recommended to be revised. And these are both items are just to tighten the control and the internal control of the school fund. So the first one is the donation process. This process was distributed to the school staff during COVID. However, it was not included in the accounting manual. So basically, it's tightened points to donations that the school received during COVID. All the schools in California were receiving a lot of donations, now sometimes in the form of cash, check, or tangible items. But we wanted to ensure that if there's any checks or cash received by any school staff or anyone at the school, that those funds be deposited into the school's bank account. And the reason for that is to have a tight control and the funds become at that point public funds, and then there's certain guidelines that the school has to follow to ensure to be fiscally responsible spending those public funds. So that was just added on in that section. And then there's another section for contract approval process. So there are some state and federal guidelines as to the limit on who can approve, how you can process and get approval for a contract, or if accumulated amount with a vendor, you know, hit a certain dollar amount. So it's very, the school has to follow those guidelines. So NLAC also follows those guidelines because it's a supporting organization for the school. So there's a process, a policy, a procurement policy and procedure. So the summary of what really needs to be followed is also inserted in the manual, where it talks about the limitation on at what point, for example, you have to get free bids, and then what small purchases are, and then at what point you have to do request for proposal and get proposal and bids out to others out there that want to propose for a contract. So all of those regulations are being followed. So we just wanted to make sure that also is included in the manual so that it's accessible to everybody that uses this process. So those are the two sections that were added, the red line, so you see what the changes are, and that again starts on page 88. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer. That concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Gita. Any questions from the board? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 5B?
Claudette, I'll make a motion to approve 5B.
Alderman Willebrand, second.
All right, so Claudette Beck has motioned and Barbara Willebrand has second. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 5D has passed unanimously. So thank you, everybody. So now we're on E. The board will be asked to approve an increase to the Hamney Bank line of credit for the 2021-22 school year. And that's Gita.
I'm sorry. I don't have that on my agenda.
Okay.
Sorry. Anyone? Jenna, are you aware of this item? I'm so sorry.
Hi, yes, I am. I'm wondering if perhaps this was an item left over from a previous board meeting. I apologize for. Okay. So, Bill, could you please guide through this process?
Yeah. Mr. Stanford, agreement with the board, we take a vote to take no action on.
All right, so do I need to ask for motion or second?
Do a motion and a second, and then.
Sure.
This is Board Member Dorch. I'll make a motion that the item be no action.
All right.
Glad to back. I'll second that.
All right, so John Dortch has made a motion that there be no action on 5E, and Claudette Beck has seconded, so we'll vote on that. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 5E was voted unanimously for no action. So now we're on 6, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. And this is Jeff Brown.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam President. I again want to congratulate Jenna for her great report. Very exciting about what's happening and how reaching out to these students and making them move on to other programs is just... It's just, believe me, very important to us and very important to the growth of our programs. I'd like to comment on the support and the actual involvement that the Lifelong Learning Program has with us. CEO Faraz's report just touches it. He did kind of outline the fact of what's happening with our government problems and things that we're running into. But we're on top of it, and they're on top of it. They work so hard, and the reports to us are really kind of warm. We can understand that we're going to wind up winning this because we're right. Back to you.
All right, so Jerry Ginson.
Jeff,
you there?
Yeah, there I am. I unmuted and muted myself. Jeff is always so comprehensive in his review of the meeting. I can hardly add anything other than to say that I'm so grateful to Jenna, to the staff, to the board for everything that you do, to all of our support providers and experts that are on the line that aid us each and every day. So thank you so much.
All right, that was really nice. Any other board members? All right, if there's no more comments, we'll go to closing items. Our next regular board meeting is October 12th, 2021 at 1:15 p.m. And now I need a motion and a second to adjourn this meeting.
Back second.
All right, so Barbara Willebrand has moved and Claudette Beck has seconded that we adjourn this meeting. So we'll take a vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for your participation.